all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Colossians 1:9-12. In other words, may you know increasingly, by joyful experience, a life abundant in rest, provision, and blessing. A life without lack. Closing prayer. Gracious Lord, help us to see and understand with the eyes of faith and the mind you have given us, your magnificent, glorious, self-sufficient being, and the greatness of your kingdom into which we are invited. May we grasp the deep significance of the words, "In him we live and move and have our being," and know that in that safest of places, in you, there is simply no lack. Open our eyes to the high privilege of being created in your image. Convince us that nothing makes you happier than seeing those redeemed by your grace devoting their days to the good of other people and your creation. Win over our timid and doubting hearts with the conviction that we are your greatest treasure in all creation. Give us sober yet fearless awareness of Satan's ploys and deceits. Strengthen our hearts in the knowledge that we have nothing to fear, for you have defeated him. We are so glad to know that greater are you who are in us than he that is in the world. May our hearts carry that message as we contemplate the awesome reality of the spiritual battle around us. Tender Father, you have taught us so clearly that faith, trust, is essential to a life without lack. We confess that while we believe in you, we need to believe more fully, more deeply, more constantly. In his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus showed us that you are completely and utterly trustworthy. And even in the shadow of death, there is nothing to fear, for you are with us. Bring us to the place of peace where we no longer feel a need to defend ourselves or to worry about who's going to take care of us or to be recognized or to get our way or to make sure things turn out right. Lord, free us through the knowledge that because you are with us, working in our lives, we have everything we need. And now, with the truth of who you are deeply engraved in our hearts, give us the confidence and power to love all who are in our lives just as we are being loved by you, freely, fully, joyfully. Let your Spirit move in our minds and hearts so we believe ever more fully that because you are our all-sufficient shepherd, we shall never want. We ask all this because we would have it no other way. Amen. Appendix A, Passages Testifying to the Abundant Provision of God. The following passages from the Bible bear witness to God's loving care for those who love and trust him and the sufficiency of his provisions to meet our every need, including our need of forgiveness and restoration. Listening to these verses thoughtfully is another way you can conform your mind to the truth about God, which is the primary secret to a life without lack. In some cases, you will want to read the entire context of these passages to give you a better understanding of the nature of God's provision. Genesis 3:21. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Genesis 8:20-22. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Genesis 9:3. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. Genesis 13:14-17. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, Lift your eyes now, and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Genesis 22:13-14. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram, and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Exodus 14:21-22. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Deuteronomy 2:7. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows your trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Deuteronomy 29:5. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. Psalm 34:10. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Psalm 36:7-8. How precious is your loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. Psalm 37:25. I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Psalm 78:21-25. Therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God, and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he had commanded the clouds above, and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, and given them the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. Psalm 81:10. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Matthew 6:26-33, Luke 12:22-34. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 7:7-11, Luke 11:9-13. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts for your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Matthew 11:28-29. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. John 16:23-24. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Romans 8:31-35 and 37-39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians 9:8-11, 15. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. 2 Peter 1:2-4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 1 John 3:22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Appendix B, Humility and Death to Self, Andrew Murray. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Philippians 2:8. Humility is the path to death, because in death it gives the highest proof of its perfection. Humility is the blossom of which death to self is the perfect fruit. Jesus humbled himself unto death, and opened the path in which we too must walk. As there was no way for him to prove his surrender to God to the very uttermost, or to give up and rise out of our human nature to the glory of the Father but through death, so with us too. Humility must lead us to die to self. So we prove how wholly we have given ourselves up to it and to God. So alone we are freed from fallen nature, and find the path that leads to life in God, to that full birth of the new nature of which humility is the breath and the joy. We have spoken of what Jesus did for his disciples when he communicated his resurrection life to them, when in the descent of the Holy Spirit, he, the glorified and enthroned meekness, actually came from heaven himself to dwell in them. He won the power to do this through death. In its inmost nature, the life he imparted was a life out of death, a life that had been surrendered to death and been won through death. He who came to dwell in them was himself one who had been dead and now lives forevermore. His life, his person, his presence bears the mark of death, of being a life begotten out of death. That life in his disciples ever bears the death marks too. It is only as the spirit of the death of the dying one dwells and works in the soul that the power of his life can be known. The first and chief of the marks of the dying of the Lord Jesus, of the death marks that show the true follower of Jesus, is humility. For these two reasons, only humility leads to perfect death. Only death perfects humility. Humility and death are in their very nature one. Humility is the bud. In death, the fruit is ripened to perfection. Humility leads to perfect death. Humility means the giving up of self and the taking of the place of perfect nothingness before God. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death. In death, he gave the highest, the perfect proof of having given up his will to the will of God. In death, he gave up his self with its natural reluctance to drink the cup. He gave up the life he had in union with our human nature. He died to self and the sin that tempted him, so as man. He entered into the perfect life of God. If it had not been for his boundless humility, counting himself as nothing except as a servant to do and suffer the will of God, he never would have died. This gives us the answer to the question so often asked, and of which the meaning is so seldom clearly apprehended. How can I die to self? The death to self is not your work. It is God's work. In Christ, you are dead to sin. The life that is in you has gone through the process of death and resurrection. You may be sure you are indeed dead to sin. But the full manifestation of the power of this death in your disposition and conduct depends upon the measure in which the Holy Spirit imparts the power of the death of Christ. And here it is that the teaching is needed. If you would enter into full fellowship with Christ in his death and know the full deliverance from self, humble yourself. This is your one duty. Place yourself before God in your utter helplessness. Consent heartily to the fact of your impotence to slay or make alive yourself. Sink down into your own nothingness in the spirit of meek and patient and trustful surrender to God. Accept every humiliation. Look upon every fellow man who tries or vexes you as a means of grace to humble you. Use every opportunity of humbling yourself before your fellow men as a help to abide humble before God. God will accept such humbling of yourself as the proof that your whole heart desires it, as the very best prayer for it, as your preparation for his mighty work of grace when by the mighty strengthening of his Holy Spirit he reveals Christ fully in you, so that he, in his form of a servant, is truly formed in you and dwells in your heart. It is the path of humility which leads to perfect death, the full and perfect experience that we are dead in Christ. Then follows, only this death leads to perfect humility. Oh, beware of the mistake so many make who would feign to be humble, but are afraid to be too humble. They have so many qualifications and limitations, so many reasonings and questionings as to what true humility is to be and to do, that they never unreservedly yield themselves to it. Beware of this. Humble yourself unto death. It is in the death to self that humility is perfected. Be sure that at the root of all real experience of more grace, of all true advancing congregation, of all actually increasing conformity to the likeness of Jesus, there must be a deadness to self that proves itself to God and men in our dispositions and habits. It is sadly possible to speak of the death life and the spirit walk, while even the tenderest love cannot but see how much there is of self. The death to self has no surer death mark than a humility which makes itself of no reputation, which empties out itself and takes the form of a servant. It is possible to speak much and honestly of fellowship with the despised and rejected Jesus, and of bearing his cross, while the meek and lowly, the kind and gentle humility of the Lamb of God is not seen, is scarcely sought. The Lamb of God means two things, meekness and death. Let us seek to receive him in both forms. In him they are inseparable. They must be in us too. What a hopeless task if we had to do the work. Nature never can overcome nature, not even with the help of grace. Self can never cast out self, even in the regenerate man. Praise God, the work has been done and finished and perfected forever. The death of Jesus, once and forever, is our death to self. And the ascension of Jesus, his entering once and forever into the holiest, has given us the Holy Spirit to communicate to us in power and make our very own the power of the death life. As the soul, in the pursuit and practice of humility, follows in the steps of Jesus, its consciousness of the need of something more is awakened, its desire and hope is quickened, its faith is strengthened, and it learns to look up and claim and receive that true fullness of the Spirit of Jesus which can daily maintain his death to self and sin in its full power and make humility the all-pervading spirit of our life. Are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Present yourself unto God as alive from the dead. The whole self-consciousness of the Christian is to be imbued and characterized by the Spirit that animated the death of Christ. He has ever to present himself to God as one who has died in Christ, and in Christ is alive from the dead, bearing about in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus. His life ever bears the twofold mark. Its roots striking in true humility deep into the grave of Jesus, the death to sin and self. Its head lifted up in resurrection power to the heaven where Jesus is. Believer, claim in faith the death and the life of Jesus as yours. Enter in his grave into the rest from self and its work, the rest of God. With Christ, who committed his Spirit into the Father's hands, humble yourself and descend each day into that perfect, helpless dependence upon God. God will raise you up and exalt you. Sink every morning in deep, deep nothingness into the grave of Jesus. Every day, the life of Jesus will be manifest in you. Let a willing, loving, restful, happy humility be the mark that you have indeed claimed your birthright, the baptism into the death of Christ. By one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. the souls that enter into his humiliation will find in him the power to see and count self dead, and as those who have learned and received of him to walk with all lowliness and meekness, forbearing one another in love. The death life is seen in a meekness and lowliness like that of Christ.
You've been listening to the audio production of Life Without Lack. Text copyright 2018 by Willard Family Trust. Production copyright 2018 by Thomas Nelson. No portion of this recording may be reproduced without the prior written consent of the publisher. For more information on other books and audio products from Thomas Nelson, please visit your favorite retailer or visit us online at thomasnelson.com. Life Without Lack was recorded at Kingswood Productions in Nashville, Tennessee.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.